Morning, everybody. How you doing? It's not a really beautiful day, but it is a beautiful day. So glad you're all here today. Expecting just a little time. So let's start with page, where am I at here? 339, please. 339, and let's stand.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Sing the last.
He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for the good week we've had, for many things we've gotten accomplished. Thank you, Lord, for just being there for us, Lord. We can throw everything at your feet, Lord. You're always there for us. Lord, I just thank you for this time now. Thanks for all that showed up today. Thank you for a good holiday season, Lord, that we got to enjoy, especially with family, Lord, and all that we've done. Lord, there's been many sick, gotten well, Lord, and come back. Good to see folks here today. There's still others struggling, Lord. I just ask you to be with them, comfort them. Lord, you might heal them up and get them back here again with us soon, Lord. Our pastor's here prepared today, Lord, for your message. Lord, I pray that he would be strong. You'd give him what he needs, Lord, to deliver today. And Lord, that it would be a message that would speak to each and every one of us today, Lord. And Lord, if someone needs to get right with you before they leave this building, Lord, I pray they do so today. Lord, I just pray for a great day. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. I don't even know what page that is. I got to get that one out here. Just a second. Coming up here. Page 4, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Verse 3 is the last. In Him's eternal bliss, the loveless strain is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. The power of darkness fear, the sweet chant they hear. May Jesus Christ be praised. Thank you. Let's see. Tonight, we have our evening service at 6 o'clock, and we have communion tonight, so don't forget that. We have women's Bible study scheduled for the 7th. Personal Evangelism, the 7th and 21st. See, Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet this Tuesday. What day is that, somebody? The 7th, thank you. Fellowship this month, their kitchen team is Kazoff and Patsy at the end of the month. Pastor's thought for the week, are you living in the reality of 2025? And make sure you read the verses, as I'm going to right now. Joshua 24:15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Thank you. And guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the day, Lord. The opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can sit amongst each other, Lord, just to fellowship, to shake a hand, a hug, Lord, whatever. Help us to remember, Lord, to build each other up, to be here, Lord, to spread some of your love. Be with us now, Lord, as we take up this offering. I just ask you, be with the gift and the giver, Lord, because we can never outgive you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see, 734, please. Special music today?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is a song that I have wanted to sing for a long time, but the Lord has just told me it wasn't the right time until this past week. So bear with me. It's a new one, and it can be a tearjerker. I'm not on an eagle trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes. I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. I'm of a special kind, for when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face, and thorns were on his head. Blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd, he looked ahead in time. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind.
Thank you, Sharon. Praise God, Sharon. That's a great reminder. Yes, it is. Greetings in this new year, and what a dynamic Lord we serve, right? Think about that. You know, Jesus, being God, came out of love for us. And he was actually what? He was abandoned on that cross by his Father as he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, everything God does is dynamic, and how he works with us is dynamic. Yes, young folks, you can head down at this time for children's church. We can't even fathom the depths of Almighty God, and yet, as we study, we come to find out, as the Spirit teaches us through the Word, what a mighty and awesome God he is. We can't even comprehend that we were on Jesus' mind. You know, the Bible also says he died for the sins of the whole world. Every human can be saved. Not all will, because they choose not to. But Jesus wants everyone to be saved. He loves all of us here today. And we were on his mind on Calvary's cross. He wants the best for us. I want the best for you too as well, and I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. And yes, it is the first new Sunday of a new year. Good to see a lot of folks out this morning. I know we've had some struggles in the last weeks with some different hindrances of all types. By the way, I'm not opposed to this colder weather, and I'm even in favor of it being colder, because it'll knock out some of the stuff that all of us are struggling with, right? I've had some struggles too this week, and that's why I'm not shaking hands today. It's not that I'm stuck up. And I pray that Lynn Ann will forgive me this morning, because I addressed her as Mindy. I thought it was Mindy. But Kim's shaking her head at me, yeah? Well, that's where I'm at these days, folks, a little deficient and defective. So anyway, yes, we've all had our challenges, haven't we? But God meets those challenges, and I pray that, again, that you'll be blessed today as we look into the Word, but not only blessed, but challenged. And this is a new year, and we know this, that God has big things planned for this year. And we also know he wants us involved in his plan. So we'll see what he has here for us today. I pray the Spirit will move in the hearts of the people. But the title of today is The Reality of 2025 and the Church, and it's a necessary message. And I do believe this, folks, we need to not be in fantasy land, but we need to be in reality as we walk through things. We face many situations, but they are dire situations involving people's souls, but they are not situations that cannot be fixed in Christ. And we need to be the catalyst for that as the Christians in this year that we see and in our current day around us. But we're glad for anyone that's visiting with us today. We hope you won't leave here the same way you came. And technically, if you think about that a little bit, we'll all be a little different, but hopefully it'll be a spiritual challenge today that'll cause you to depart here differently and maybe to make a decision before you leave here today. Amen. That may be life-changing and dynamic. So those are all on the table, but we're glad you're here, especially if you're visiting here. I think even the ushers may have some special things for first-timers today. But don't forget, during every season, invite people to hear the Word of God proclaimed and where it's faithfully and accurately proclaimed. So with that said, we're going to begin today. This is a worship time. So we'll begin with just a few moments of silent prayer where you can have a time to meditate or adjust your heart today. I know one of the things I have to ask God for every day is to cleanse my heart and to forgive my sin. Not to be saved again. He saved me, but He wants my heart clean. He wants us to be in a personal, close walk with Him today, and we are here to show Him in part about His worthiness. And by the way, this is dress rehearsal for heaven. So think of it that way. Think of what's to come. And so again, draw close, let Him know He's worth a lot to you today, if He is, or to confess. And we'll just have a few moments of silent prayer, and then I'll have a short pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. Everyone on page with that this morning? All right, so let's bow for a few moments of prayer, and then I'll conclude with a pastoral prayer. Oh God, our Father, as the prayers go up from the hearts of the people here today gathered at Fruitland Baptist Church, we give You thanks and praise for Your grace and mercy that as yet has been unfathomable, Lord. We know that there is a finiteness to that, but from where we stand yet today, Lord, we know that it is plenteous and that You still have grace and mercy for all people. And so we thank You for that today, Lord. We thank You that Your throne is open to us, whether it be to come and confess to You, to confess our need for You today, Lord, to receive You as Savior, and to receive the gift of salvation. Lord, all these things are affordable today from that wonderful throne that we come before this morning. I pray today, Lord, that all of our hearts would agree here today that You indeed are worthy, as I tried to illustrate briefly, but You illustrate very well to us in all Your ways, Lord. You are awesome and You are dynamic, and Lord, we want to be in tune with You this day. I pray today that You'd first of all forgive me for my sin, Lord, and I pray that as well, I don't know where other people are at, but I just pray You'd cleanse our hearts today as we look into Your Word, that You'd give us a fresh start and a fresh year, and we thank You for this year that's even identified as Anno Domini in the Latin, the year of our Lord. Even the years are numbered after You. 2025. And we know this, Lord, that we're closer this year than we were last to Your return or our meeting You through death or in the rapture of the church. So, Lord, we need to be aware of these things. And we thank You that for the believer today, we have no need to fear what lies in the future because we know that heaven is in the future for the believer. And this is a wonderful thing and a wonderful promise. Now, Lord, we also acknowledge today, though, that we still live in this broken world. We know that many of our number are ill today in a physical way. Some are near to death that we are associated with, Lord. Some are at the precipice of new life, too. Maybe a new baby will be born and all the events that go on in this world, Lord, that is broken and tainted by sin. But we look forward to the day when we will no longer be a part of that, Lord. But until then, help us to remain faithful. That's really the big thing, Lord, is faithfulness and faithfulness to Your plan and, Lord, to be proclaimers of the good news of the gospel to the world around us. I pray that we would make that a high point, Lord, as we move into this new year and that there would be prosperity not only personally in our lives in that respect. It may not be financial prosperity, Lord, but we know this, that You'll take care of Your people. You promised to do that, but prosperity regarding You, Lord, that we would make a difference in the people that we encounter. Now, I thank You for every person that's here today, and I pray now, Lord, as I begin to address that, and we also thank You too, Lord, and pray for those that are not here for various reasons. There could be all kinds of things today that have impacted lives. I pray that You'd bind those wounds, though, if there are some, that there'd be reconciliation and restoration, Lord, people into a vibrant walk with You. Lord, now I have the responsibility and the privilege, both, Lord, to bring forth the Word this morning, and I need Your help. I've been struggling as well here with some health issues, and I do pray, Lord, you'd help my hearing to come back in my right ear. That's been a problem for me lately. But in your time and will, Lord, all these things. But you know that I'm weak and I'm not capable of doing this, Lord, but only through your help may this produce fruit for you. And so I need your help to go before me. And I ask that today now, Lord, as we all look into the Word together, that you change us and send us from this place with a new spiritual attitude about things today, Lord. Or maybe even someone needs to be saved, that they leave here a different person, a reborn person with new life from above. I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. And before I forget it, and yes, I do struggle with memory more than I used to as well. But for those that were interested in membership, we'll try to have a class next Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock for that. And move on from there. If you have any feedback for me, I'd be glad to visit with you about that afterwards. Again, today will be a no shake today, so we'll have to air shake or smile courteously at each other. I don't think I'm contaminated where I'll hurt you, but I just don't want to take that chance. My wife has warned me not to do that today. But friends in Christ, as I write this message, and I was writing this down here on New Year's Eve day, I wonder, as I do on many days, as to what the future of Fruitland Baptist will be like as we enter the uncharted days of 2025. I pray that we'll have a bright future, and I believe that we can have a very bright future if we'll do it God's way. And I think we have to come back to basics on things and be challenged about that on a regular basis as we look at this new year. And we know that it can be a good year. But understand this, that nothing has changed my mind that we are in the season of the return of Christ for his church. And we know that the days of the church are finite. In other words, there is a given parameter when the church will exist. And when Jesus returns, it will be the end of the church age. But friends, we are not there yet. We may be close. There's all kinds of predictions. We've looked at Scripture. But we know that we're not done yet. And yet, I believe there is a consensus in many ways in our churches today that people say, well, it's all done. We're just going to sit back and Jesus will be back here this year. Well, we don't know that, do we? No. And he's never told us to quit before it's done. We're not done till we're done. But it is finite, and we need to understand that. And on this earth, and we're not done till we're done unless we what? This is the critical thing. We choose to disobey what God tells us to do. And he does not tell us to be done. Obviously, we understand, though, that this is Jesus' precious church that we're dealing with here. And with that said, Fruitland Baptist Church and we that make it up operate in a challenging environment. Can we agree to that today? Absolutely we do, in many ways. I'm not going to illustrate all of that today, but you know it and I know it. And we talk about those things periodically as we look into the Scriptures. It's a challenging environment both within and without. And some of it is due to internal spiritual issues, and some of it is due to external spiritual issues that we find in our day. There's no doubt about that at all. But here's the point today. Let us look to the Lord for some guidance for the days ahead. Okay? And renewal and recommitment to the task that is at hand. One of several things that's never been taken off the table, if you have your paper Bibles or your devices today, I'd like us to go to the book of Matthew and the last chapter, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at three verses this morning, verses 18 through 20. And most of you know that this is what is commonly known as the Great Commission. Now, since Lynn Ann's here this morning, I'll pick on her a little further because I used to have a joke when I came into the insurance offices and I said, we all operate on the same basis as Christians and insurance people. On a what, Lynn Ann? A commission basis. A commission basis. The fact of the matter is, Jesus has not revoked the Great Commission. And this is what he said before he ascended back into heaven after he'd gone to the cross and the tomb was found empty and Jesus is alive yet today. The first thing he says in this Great Commission, he tells us in verse 18, he says, all, you know, I've got the King James here this morning, but all power, all authority comes from me because I'm Almighty God. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. Folks, I want to tell us something this morning. When Jesus speaks, it's not E.F. Hutton we ought to listen to. We ought to listen to him. Amen. because he has powerful things to tell us. And that word power here is the word dunamis in the Greek, meaning what Jesus has to tell us is dynamic. It's like dynamite, okay? And it is worth listening to. Friends, I believe our day people have gone deaf, like I have in this right ear, on what Jesus has said to us and what he is still saying to us today. And the first thing he says in 19 is what most of us don't want to do. I talked with a lady at Moscow briefly this morning. She said, I just don't want to get up and go to work anymore. And I think she's retired. And I said, I agree with you. And I'm not retired, but some of these dark mornings that we've had, by the way, have you noticed already? The days are getting what? Just a tad bit longer, more light. But we don't feel like doing anything. But the first thing Jesus tells his disciples here is to what? It's my little thing I said that I've borrowed from the corn sheller man years ago. Get to going. Get up and go. And folks, that's the first thing that ought to be on the list for us in 2025 as the church, as Christians, is to get to going. I've even used that in class at L&M, haven't I, some of you down there? Get to going, because no one wants to do anything anymore. What's the matter with people? Nothing's changed. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you're struggling in your walk with Christ, oh yeah, you can have counseling, you can study till kingdom come, but the first thing that will turn you around is to get to going. And what I mean by that is get engaged with exactly what Jesus said to do, and you will get over your troubles, okay? You'll be encouraged, you'll be excited, you'll see worth in what you do. So here's what he says. He says, go therefore. And here's the responsibilities of the church. Teach all nations. That's evangelism. Again, spreading the gospel. Baptizing them. Again, introducing them to Jesus Christ. Having them understand their need to identify with him in believers' baptism. Very simple. Who are you? Come out. Show us who you are. What's reality? You know, as I've always said to you folks and out at Moscow too, you see the real me here. Well, you don't see all the ugliness of it because it's ugly, like all of us. But you know where I'm at with stuff. I tell it the way it is. And things are not always pretty. But he says what? Get out there, teach, evangelize the nations, people. Lead them again to understand it is important to make a public profession of that faith that they have received, if they've received it through the identification of immersion and baptism in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is the discipleship factor of this. We ought to be involved in helping people along in their walk. And I want to tell you that I am not perfect or complete, but I'm willing to help anyone here that wants to take help, and I need your help too. You see, it's a combination of things. We need to be challenging each other as believers to a better, to edification, to something better all the time, not accepting the status quo or seeing things slip. And notice he says this, to observe all things. It's to acknowledge, obey, and to invest in what God says in his word that will be beneficial for us. And notice Jesus didn't say in this Great Commission, these are my suggestions for you. You see what he says there? These are my commandments. These are authority that is delivered by Jesus that he expects us to move on. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul said there is no excuse. And folks, there is no excuse for this. What are you going to tell Jesus? What am I going to tell? I didn't feel like it that day. Sure, if we're really critically ill, that's one thing. But folks, most of the days of the year, we are not incapacitated. We are able to accomplish something for Jesus. And we ought to do it. And he says this too. He says, and I could preach a whole sermon on this one text here, but notice what Jesus says there. I am with you even unto the end of, and here in the King James translation it says world, but it's unto the age, because there's no end to the world, folks. Jesus will create a new heavens and a new earth for the believers, And of course, hell is eternal for the unbeliever. But let me tell you something, without a doubt, Jesus says, I'm with you all the way. You're not alone. And he holds our hand, and he's gentle with us, isn't he? Yeah. And he wants us, again, he wants to be a part of that walk. We are not in this alone. Anyway, it's very simple. This will make a different 2025. If we go, teach his commandments, baptize people to be identified, and to be identified in that also with the local church. By the way, the local church is God's institution for today. This is where it should all come from. People that need help should say, I need to go to the church. Not to all kinds of other things, but the power that God has given and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church are here to help every situation, folks. I believe that. Now, obviously, you know, we in our world like to go to what we call professionals for a lot of things, and I understand that. We do need to go to physicians and different caregivers and so forth for things, but folks, so often the great physician is the last one we go to, and that's Jesus. But he wants the church to be a hospital for sinners, for people that are in trouble, not a sanctity for the saved, folks. We don't deserve that. This is here to help people and to represent the cause of Jesus Christ. Notice what he said there at the end of that text. He says, if you do these things. I'm big on that little word, if, because it's a big word. If. If you do these things, I am with you always. But if we don't as a church, I want to tell you this, folks, we will not continue. If we don't even get this first part of this message right this year, we are headed for decline, and we will not continue because it is not the way of how Christ would have us to do. He wants a church engaged with the culture we're in and moving forward for him, trusting him, and he will be with us. We don't have to pray that. He says he will. Believe it. Do it. It's that simple. I'd like us to go back to John chapter 4, 27 through 28 for the second little part of this morning. John chapter 4, verses 27 through 38. I've got to make this quick. I may have to slice and dice a little bit. I don't want to, but we may need to. But John chapter 4 and verses 27 through 38. As soon as I get this last page turned here. John chapter 4, one more page. John, you'll get it. You're close. You're in the book of John. John chapter 4, 27 through 38. Jesus here is witnessing to his disciples, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? You'll recall, this is the woman at the well, and the great encounter that Jesus had with her. By the way, he met her in the place she was at, and he met her with an account of something that she could deal with. She was drawing water. Jesus illustrates himself as the living water. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ or God's anointed? They went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You remember where the disciples were while Jesus had this great encounter with the woman at the well. They're out figuring out a way to feed their face. They went into town to buy food because that was very important to them. Now, those of you that know me well, food's pretty important to me. It shouldn't be. And sometimes at breakfast, I'll say to Kim, what are you thinking about having for supper? And she says, you're still feeding your face this morning and you're worried about supper. I said, it's one of the only things I have to look forward to. But Kim lays it on the line too pretty well at home, you know. She really does, keeps me in line. But these guys were not thinking about souls. They were not thinking about the things that were at hand that were a part of the Lord's program. Can we forgive them? Did Jesus forgive them? Yes. And Jesus will forgive us for these things too, because we're in the same boat, folks. When you see the point I'm kind of going to make from this, we're not thinking straight about things. We got to get into the reality of 2025. And it's no different than 2024. We're not doing the things the way Jesus wants them done. That's the problem, see, because our minds are somewhere else. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, Hath any man brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said unto them, and this is what we've got to listen to, My food or my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to, get this, folks, finish his work. Well, I could preach through this whole text and talk about this, but I'm going to cut to the chase. And the key of this is just what we read here in verse 34. We need to finish the work before we devour the reward. Folks, this is what's been going on in the churches, not all churches, not necessarily Fruitland, but it's been going on. And what we're doing, folks, we have stopped working and we're living on a harvest that's already been accomplished. But we haven't accomplished it. You get what I'm saying there? We need to finish the work before we devour the reward. There is a big harvest and the workers are few, and we need to get over it and stop talking about it and thinking about it and get with it. See, that's what Jesus said here. He said this, Say not that there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The harvest is ready to go. By the way, folks, you don't have to use a moisture tester to test oats or wheat. You can look at the field. When the field is white and it's no longer, I call it olive or green, you can still see that. But when it's white, you don't have to worry. Go out there and harvest it. It'll be fine. By the way, if you wait too long, what'll happen? The crop will lodge. If it's like it has been with me through my experience raising oats around here, usually the day or two before the oats are fit to go, you get a windstorm and they go flat. And then you have hot, humid weather, and you can't get them combined for a while, you know, when you do it that way. But Jesus is, in effect, saying, he says, now's the time to go. By the way, has the world ever been more needy for Jesus than today? Answer, no, because the dynamics that we have in our world today with the population and everything else that's going on, this world is more needy today than it was yesterday. And we have a responsibility to harvest. We're not here just to reap and take the benefits of it. We're to harvest. Because the Bible says we'll reap what we sow. See, our reaping comes later. It's not time to quit and eat. It's like, I'll go back to the corn sheller man. Earl, should we stop today and have lunch? Nope, we're going to keep on going. We're going to get the shelling done. Some of you that have never been around that, we always shell corn in the hottest weather of the year. And you always had to get it done, and you kept going. You ate later when you could. But what's happening today is the church and people in general are taking the easy way out today. They're eating first, and they're forgetting that we're involved in a harvest. And we need to finish the work first. And folks, there is a big harvest. But notice here, he says in verse 37, And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor, for other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. We need to get this straight in our thinking, folks. We really do. Where we're at in this situation with the harvest. We'll reap if we sow, but we need to discern the time, signs of the times, and this is not the time to stop because the fields are white. It's more needful than ever for people to be harvested for Jesus Christ. Okay. The church as a whole today, though, is eating the rewards of past harvesting and leaving the current crop to go to waste. I pray that that will change in 2025 in a dynamic way. Page 2, over to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 33. So back here, one chapter, Luke chapter 15, and verses 1 through 33. Now, obviously, we're not going to go through all this, but you have three things here that are lost that Jesus uses as illustrations. But along with this illustration, there's a fourth component to this. And in this case, it's the Pharisees and the scribes that are lost. And in the case that I'm talking about today, it may be us. It may be we that are lost. We're not thinking. I'm not talking here necessarily even if you're saved or not, but you're lost in your thinking because you're not thinking of the lost. Can you understand what I'm getting at here? You find three things that Jesus gave in parables here. The first one was the lost sheep. The second one was the lost coin. And the third was the lost son. By the way, how would you rank those in value? Just the way Jesus presented them. My thinking of sheep has never been good. Sheep. I always like to, and I need to do this too. But folks, here's the point of all this morning. Are you considering the lost? Have you really sat down and thought about all the people that you know? The people down here at Fruitland, the people at Wilton, Muscatine, wherever it is. Have you really thought about where their destiny is headed? How many of you are claustrophobic? Autumn, you admit that. Well, I admit that I'm a little more that way than I used to be. Mrs. Kim there, she is that way. But, you know, the Bible talks a lot about hell. And we hear that taught here at Fruitland periodically. Hopefully you study it as well. By the way, look at Luke 16 sometime, just a chapter over. I don't believe it's a parable. I believe it's Jesus' direct teaching, the rich man and Lazarus and what hell is like. But, you know, we just don't know what hell will be like in totality. But I have to wonder this, folks. You know, the Bible says that in Christ we're set free, but we know that Satan keeps us as a slave. Have you ever considered what it might be to end up in hell? And think what it would be like if you're claustrophobic, to be contained in torments and punishment and heat and flame and all the rest of this. I heard this little account someone brought forth here a while back. I'll just share it with you briefly. I don't necessarily agree with it theologically, but a guy said to his children, when you bury me and you place me in the casket, I want you to place a cell phone in that casket. Because he said, I know that there have been some people that were pronounced dead that came back to life. Now, we could digress into that, near-death experiences. In fact, I've answered some of those questions, how I see it from Scripture with people recently. And this is no joke. But there's a vivid illustration here that I want to present. The guy did wake up in the casket, and he went to use his cell phone. Okay, what do you think it said? No service. Now, we can laugh about that, but folks, that's a picture of hell. There are people out here, maybe people in this room, that don't know Jesus Christ, and they are headed for a future that may involve claustrophobia forever. Restriction in hell to punishment. I can't prove this biblically, but I've always said the things that people cherish the most that kept them away from heaven might be the thing that they'll experience on a regular basis in hell. I use baseball as an example. Someone that said, I have no time for Jesus Christ. I'm going to watch or participate in baseball. Maybe you'll play baseball in hell under torment for all eternity because you failed to receive Jesus Christ and the freedom that he gives. Folks, do we really acknowledge the seriousness of the lost around us? And I'm here telling you, I'm not going to read these parables this morning, but it's like the parable of the lost sheep. You have 100 sheep. One sheep's gone, you still have 99 in the fold. What's the thinking that we have? One sheep's not that valuable. Let's just go with the 99. It's good. But that's not how Jesus looks at things. And it shouldn't be how we look at it either. Because, you know, the whole thing, whether it's the lost sheep, the lost coin, or the lost son, is that souls are valuable to Jesus. How valuable are they to you and I? And I'm here to tell you the truth. There's periods in my life when I say, well, people have had the opportunity to, but that's not what Jesus says. He says, what did he say there in Matthew 28? He said, go. See? We can't let down that guard. And I believe this with all my heart because I see it in myself. We've lost our zeal. We've lost our purpose. Maybe. It's up to everyone individually. And we all have our excuses, and we all can say, well, we still have the 90. Yeah, well, we better think about these kind of things. Have we really thought, and I won't read these this morning, but trust me, they're there. Have you really considered the reality of hell for the lost? And like I said, folks, hell is a trap. It's a trap, but heaven is freedom. Jesus said, in Him you'll be free indeed. Yeah. It's bondage, it's punishment, it's pain, it's torment, it's confinement eternally. And as I mentioned in that little tale that I gave, there's no service. You can't cry out for help once you're there, according to what the Scriptures teach. So here's my question, folks, again, with these things in mind. If God is interested in people and He's interested in the loss, are you and I? And if not, why not? Well, how do we deal with reality of 225 and the church? How do we see this overcome? How do we get it right? Well, the first thing, my friends, Christians need to get a spiritual checkup and get our hearts right. And we need to repent if there's a need for it. And I'm going to say this morning from my life, there's need for repentance in my life. Further repentance. How can there not be in all of our lives? Who could stand up here today and say, I've got it all right, I've got it all perfect? Well, you can go ahead and do it, and I'll know one thing, and God will too, you're a fool. Because we don't all have it right. And we do need to get it right. And the way you get it right is to get a checkup on your heart about some of the things I've just talked about. And when we discover how bad it is, we need to turn around. That's called repent. And we need to acknowledge that to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have not done as You have said. It's very plain in my life. And I know that. And you know what? I want to change. Will You help me, Lord? You know, Jesus said that people that come to Him, and He in no way will He cast them out. He's ready to help you and I today. And I tell, Lord, I need help. Can we admit that in the reality of 2025? Because you have a choice. You can go right down the path. You can go down the path that you're on, but we know none of our paths are exactly right. We need to get them right with the Lord today. We need to let, as far as the church, we need to let Jesus back into our life and back into our churches. Revelation 3, 14 through 22, last book of the Bible. Revelation 3, 14 through 22. You've heard this from this pulpit many times over the years. You've seen it yourself if you've studied Scripture. But tell me what's in the end of Revelation 3. It's the last church of the seven that are mentioned. It portrays the very age that we live in today, in my opinion. It was a literal church as well that suffered from these problems. If you read those seven churches in the book of Revelation, you'll find that two of them were not condemned by the Lord. By the way, they were the churches that were under some kind of persecution, okay, to a great extent, or that had a zeal for God. That would be Philadelphia, by the way. But folks, the last church is the church of Laodicea. And this is what Jesus told the Apostle John, what He showed him. He says, this is the symptom of the last days of the church. Here's what those symptoms are, Revelation 3, 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. By the way, you're not pulling anything over on Jesus, neither am I. He knows us for what we are and who we are. I know that in the church. And by the way, the church is the sum of the parts. The believers make up the sum of the whole, which is the local church. I know thy works. And what's he say? That thou art neither cold nor hot. I think that means indifferent. Apathetic. That the church says, yeah, we want to continue, but we're not going to get into this too heavily. Don't interfere in my time too much. And Jesus says, I'm going to interpret this a little bit. I would that thou wert not cold or hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Jesus says, lay your cards on the table. Where are you today? You know, I'd rather you come clean with me than to try to play a game going down the middle. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, the church today and our lives today, if they're lukewarm, make God sick. Can we come clean about that today? I'm coming clean with me about it. It's not where it should be. Maybe you're in the same situation. And here's why. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich, I have plenty of goods, I don't have any need of anything. I don't need you, God. Oh. Knowest not that thou art what? When you think things are in good shape, that's when the things are in the worst shape. You know, it's kind of like my dad always used to say, you don't own something until it's paid for. You own at it. We're in a progress of being progressively sanctified by God. We have none of us arrived. This all comes home, doesn't it? I don't need you, God, because I have no needs. Oh, yeah? Well, in case you don't know it, you're in very needy shape if you think you're okay. Because you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Naked means more than just not being clothed. It means you're standing out there with no defense. You've heard that before. You've heard that in businesses. They got caught naked. Yeah. They were out of order. Financially, ethically, whatever the case may be. And that's where we're at today, folks, if we're in that position. So Jesus doesn't leave it at that. He says, I counsel. I'm going to give you advice how this can be changed. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You see, we need to be rich in the things of God, not in the things of man. Pardon me here with my page troubles. And white raiment. In other words, we need to get rid of the filthy garments we're in and be clothed in the white garments of Christ. By the way, if you're unsaved today, you're in filthy garments. Jesus will wash you whiter than snow with his precious blood. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now hear this, Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And here's the key, Fruitland Baptist Church and Christians here this morning. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. No. Zealous here does not mean that you're a Bible-thumping fanatic. Zealous here means that you're living your life and you're living it before people and before God in a way that will be attractive to the message that you are to deliver. It's called being genuine. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's telling us in 2025, get real with people. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What he's talking about here, he's talking about the hearts of men and he's talking about the church. Jesus wants to be back as the center of our lives and he needs to be back as the center of his church. It's his church. We have to bring Jesus back into our lives and into his church. An unbeliever, it's a smart thing today to be saved, to be rescued by Jesus. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I better finish Revelation 3. Notice here what he says, I stand at the door and knock. I want to have fellowship with you, but it's up to you. But also he says in verse 21, to him that does overcome, that's implied there, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Folks, Jesus offers us the victor's place here as an overcomer. And then he closes with this in his discourse with John about the churches. Like he says to all the churches, he that hath an ear, well, I've only got one this morning that's working. But I heard the message. He that hath an ear, let him hear. I don't mean just to hear the sound. Let him process and move on what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is what will change 2025. It will change us from continual sliding or stagnation into victorious walking with the Lord and results. Christians need to get a spiritual checkup and get our hearts right. The church needs to, as the sum of the parts, as the whole. People need to be saved. today that understand their lives are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The second point is we need to become faithful to serve the Lord. When we become faithful in things, we put that thing that we are faithful to as a what? I'm looking for the P word, a priority. When we become faithful, we have priorities that we will what? We will not deviate from unless it is something that is outside of the realm of possibilities to a great extent. How faithful are you, first of all, and I, to Jesus? And secondly, how faithful are we to His church and to the mission, the co-mission that He sent us to do? Well, I'm saying this, we need to become faithful to serve the Lord and to please Him and remain faithful if you already are. Let's look at two verses and then we're just about done. Hebrews 11:6, just back a few books. Hebrews 11:6. Of course, we know that chapter 11 of Hebrews is what? The great hall of failure. Thank you. Someone was paying attention. It's not the great hall of failure. It's the great hall of faith. And again, the writer of Hebrews is illustrating how people have operated that were zealous for God. By the way, it doesn't mean that things are hunky-dory all the time. There's some people in here that are kind of questionable characters. You know, you go down the line a little bit. We learned here a few months ago, maybe it was, about a guy named Abraham that did a little lying, a little cheating. That's people. That's even believers, folks, that are in that category. But their faith is what mattered. It's faith that saves us, see? 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them. And here's this word again, that nominally are interested in Him. Diligently seek Him with all our heart. There it is. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And by the way, this does help to wear out your Bible. Because as we wear it out, we imprint it on our hearts. 1 Corinthians 15:58, you've heard this from me a lot. You've seen it a lot. But it's the truth. And here is what the Apostle Paul writes to that church at Corinth that was what? Shaky operation. Don't come and tell me that churches are all in perfect, that there are some in perfect condition. That's another lie of Satan. They're a work in progress. And that's the same here at Fruitland. But here's what Paul told the Corinthian church. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, don't overdo it. What does he say? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's called what? Faith. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, even if you don't see results like you think we should. And I'm guilty of this a lot. My wife tells me this, John, don't look for the big things, look for the things that are there. Faith. He says what? What we do for the Lord, if we do it for the right reasons, is never a waste of time. Hear that at the precipice here of the beginning of the year of 2025. Last little point. Having cultivated a genuine burden for the lost, I've already mentioned that. Remember, it's only because of God's grace and possibly His grace directed through another person's burden that you and I were saved. Who maybe led you to the Lord? Not everyone is led to the Lord by another person, but many are. And it's the behest again, how the Spirit moves in that. But if someone took the time to explain the gospel to you, why shouldn't you do it for someone else? How can you withhold that precious good news from anyone else? And understand this as well, thinking of those three lost things, the sheep, the coin, and the son. We were all lost sheep before we were found by the great shepherd. So in conclusion this morning, and that's a part of it, have you been found by the great shepherd here today? He's looking for you. The question is, you need to look for him as well. But he will find you. He knows you. and He wants you and those of us that are His sheep. He wants us in a personal walk in His fold with Him. Here's the conclusion. If we will move on these and more in 2025, there will be a church growth movement, Pastor John. We'll have to have a building program this year. No, but there will be a difference. And again, what's the little word I started with again? If. There will be a difference, first of all, in you and me, and there will be a difference in the Lord's church and in the lives that are touched and that can begin today. Don't put it off another day. It can happen now. If we fail to act, a lost harvest, remember what we talked about there with Jesus, will be left to our legacy. That's the bottom line about 2025. I'm done. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 598. Interestingly, whoever picked this months ago, the song. Standing. 598. Standing on the promises. Let me just say this. If you're not ready to stand on the promises today, you'll have to have a seat till that time comes. But most of you are on your feet if you're able today. What better day to either recommit to the Lord for what lies ahead or make that initial commitment today and say, Lord, I need you. I want what you have for me. I'm going to accept your gift today of salvation and be born again into a new life and a new walk fit for eternity in heaven. Let's sing the first verse today and then we may sing the chorus, but do more than stand today. Get up and go. You may want to come forward, that's fine. But do business with the Lord today. Get into the reality of 2025. It's high time we get started. Here we go, Kay. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Now we're going to sing that refrain one more time, but can anyone today admit to the Lord, I'm falling today. And I need to stand. I need your help, Lord, to get me back up on my feet. If that's the case, admit that to Jesus today and go to Him. I can't save you. I would be glad to visit with you. And there's other people here too at Fruitland today. Whether you're saved or unsaved and you're struggling, Jesus is there and we need to help one another. Let's sing the refrain. Here it is. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Marlon, would you dismiss us this first Sunday in prayer of 2025?